In nature, a wildfire is one of the most devastating natural forces. It burns hot and fast and leaves little behind but ash and char. Or so it seems. Very soon after the fire passes through the forest, life returns. Shrubs and weeds that clog the forest floor have burned away, leaving space for new trees, grasses, and flowers to emerge and flourish. Habitats are created, bringing new insects, birds, reptiles, and mammals. A cancer diagnosis can feel like a wildfire, our bodies becoming this new, fire-clarified landscape. For some, cancer changes utterly everything. For others, cancer brings greater clarity and purpose. And some of us are still searching for what life after a cancer diagnosis will look like. Welcome to The Burn. We are exploring stories of life and transformation following a breast cancer diagnosis. I'm April Stearns, the founder and editor of Wildfire Magazine and the host of this podcast. Today, we're going to hear a piece about one woman's journey to feeling comfortable with her new chest as told through a timeline. All the times she went topless before and after diagnosis and surgery. I love this story and the thread of that timeline. This story involves a lesser known mastectomy surgery as well called Goldilocks, and I'm looking forward to today's guest sharing her experience with you. A quick note here before we dive in that this essay does mention sexual content. So if you've got little ears that don't want to hear that, you might save this one for another time. All right, my guest today is Kathleen Moss. Kathleen is a nutritionist and spiritual director. She was diagnosed at 48 and 49 with DCIS, hormone positive, breast cancer first, and then lobular breast cancer that was stage one. Kathleen is a flat advocate, a YouTuber, a caregiver, and a mom living with her husband and stepson in rural Oregon. Her newest volunteer project is coordinating the formation of local advocacy teams for the Lobular Breast Cancer Alliance. She holds retreats for women on the topics of nutrition and toxins, and she also enjoys volunteering with Flat Retreat and Stand Tall AFC, whose events are at the heart of her essay. And with that, I'll let you know that Kathleen's essay is called Toplessness Transformed from Our 2023 New Normal. Hey, Kathleen, welcome to The Burn.
Thanks, April.
Thanks for being here. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you. After you read, we will chat. Those of you listening, stay tuned to the very end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. All right, Kathleen, I'll let you take it away.
Thanks. Toplessness transformed. The first two times I went topless were on beaches in France. I was in my 20s and 30s. They weren't remarkable incidents. At beaches in France, young women with suits on are more freakish than those without. But to me, it felt weird, maybe because my breasts were so big. The third time I went topless was regrettable. I was with two close friends on a pine-forested wild mountain perch. The water was hot and clear, and we had a view over the trees down to the river rushing below. Our six breasts of varying sizes were the only ones in the pool. There was a young man there, too, who glanced at us now and then awkwardly. We took our tops off slowly, pretending to be comfortable. We tried to talk and act as if it felt natural, but none of us could relax. My friends didn't know why, but I did. It was the dude. I could see his arm moving under the water. I was filled with anger and disgust as I got out of the pool and told them I was going in a self-righteous tone. He was jacking off, I whispered to my friends with rage and disdain. No, they protested. The creepy dude wasn't the only one who left something behind in that pool. I left plenty of fear and shame, anger and self-loathing swirling around behind me. I'm sure he could sense it as strongly as I could sense the grossness he was sending my way. If my breasts could bring such feelings of violation into what I'd hoped would be a celebratory day with friends, I'd keep them to myself. The fourth time I took my shirt off in public, I was surrounded by women. 28 brand new friends, most of whom had no breasts and plenty of scars. In the group of us, there were exactly six breasts, two of which were nippleless. My one breast, was one of the four that was still nippled and whole. I watched as Allison took her light blue t-shirt off to reveal a bra that she'd carefully cut one of the cups and straps off of. She looked gorgeous with her one little breast. Her scars had healed and faded nicely. I was envious. I took my shirt off too, but my pink bra was two cupped, holding just one large breast. The rib band was wide enough, though, that I could tuck the empty cup into it and fold the strap down under the back in a way that looked even and not too bunchy. I nervously posed for a photo on that chilly April morning and was half happy and half sad when the public version of it came out and my freakish flat side was hidden behind Miriam's head. My surgeon had left me with a bump that she wanted to make into a nipple after I had twice asked her to make me smooth. After 6 months, I still had the bump and my anger, but I was happy to let the others in on my story. It was a story I wanted to tell. The fifth time I went topless, there was no bra and no nipples. I was 4 weeks post-mastectomy on my right side and finally free of that ugly bump on my left. I was bathing them both in the water of the same pool where this story started. I had a new tiny breast mound made of my own extra skin called a Goldilocks mastectomy. I was shy at first, wading in with the same friend who had insisted no years earlier, but it only took us both a few minutes to feel free. A recent forest fire had swept away many of the pines surrounding the pool. I expected to feel sad about that, but instead there was a palpable feeling of peace on the hillside. No sadness lived there, just like in my own story. We were alone this time. I looked at Aaron's natural breasts and felt no pain or regret. I loved my body. The water was perfectly still and pure, and I felt as though I was being baptized in it. This was a new me, one I was proud to show. I actually think that my newness of spirit happened during the last time I went topless. All those women who surrounded me in that photo had a lasting effect. They saw me in my lopsided, freakish state and adored me. They erased my fear and body shame with their collective loving gaze. I did the same for them. We saw and embraced each other, and that brought freedom. So I felt whole and unashamed, even in this place where I had been full of fear and rage a few years prior. The sixth time I went topless was at the zoo. It was my first breast cancer walk, and there were hundreds of people parading in pink. My team was parading in skin, and I was their leader. I didn't know ahead of time if I'd be comfortable baring my chest in that big crowd, but it ended up feeling completely right. We danced and sang and then walked through the tree-lined corridors with apparent joy rather than a somber spirit, because we were letting our bodies tell a story of self-reconciliation. We stopped in a courtyard to cheer the other teams on and adopted strangers into our group. We learned to recognize the looks that said, "I'm flat too," and "I've never met someone like me." The seventh time at the Seattle Komen Walk, I had created my own half bra, and it was much sexier than Allison's. Its tiny cup was made of thin black velvet, and it had extra straps that crossed my chest in a way that made me feel wrapped in ribbon. I loved it. Candace helped me trim off the extra fabric that morning in a Seattle Airbnb. She's an expert in chopping up clothing until it looks just right. That day, I felt some judgment from other people for the first time, and I didn't care. That was amazing to not have to care. The eighth time was with my tribe again. I was at the Making Strides walk, and we all had signs that read like love notes to our bodies. Wendy said that she wanted us to wear tutus, so I got one at the Halloween section at Goodwill that was aqua blue with big silver dots all over. I had never worn a tutu. The ninth time, I was getting ready to walk the Golden Gate Bridge with 80 other flat women. I wore a pearly sequin top with my tutu, and when it got warm enough, I pulled the stretchy top down around my waist and left it sparkling just above the waistband of the tutu. Along the way, I saw Sheena, whom I had met the night before, but I didn't realize that she had two little Goldilocks breasts that were just like mine. I felt more beautiful when I saw her, the first woman I'd met in person who resembles me. I left my tutu behind in San Francisco, imagining it having a better time there than it would in my closet. The 10th time was in the pool at the Hotel Los Arboles in Palm Springs. Terry was dancing poolside, playing tunes from Grease, as we all sang, "You Better Shape Up." Cricket and Cassie bouncing in their heart and swan-shaped inner tubes. The couple from France sat bewildered in the corner of the patio with looks that said, "This is not normal." The 11th time was the next day at my first down the middle of the street walk. We pranced along, many of us stopping to talk to curious people with smiles or confused looks, then stopped at the end to dance and jump and sing to one another. When the music stopped, the hundreds of pink-shirted people had vanished. It was only us in our skin, in the blazing sun. I dipped my Windy Sage t-shirt in a pool of water in front of a strip mall and put it back on to keep cool. Tomorrow, I'm going back to the hot springs for the first time with flat friends, number 12. Each time, I feel closer to the women around me in a way that I've never felt before. I am more whole because I am broken, and we are all witnesses to this paradox. Some don't understand, but most do because the joy in our faces tells a story.
That was beautiful. I love that so much. Thank you, Kathleen, for reading to us today.
Sure.
So let's take a quick break here. We'll let you catch your breath and we'll hear a little love letter from a happy wildfire participant. Hey, this is April. Every week here on The Burn, I say there is no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop. And I want you to know that I mean that. I mean it from the deepest part of my core. And that's because there is no place where young people with breast cancer gather together and bear themselves on the page and then share it. Again and again, people tell me that they didn't even know how much they needed the writing workshop and the writing prompts until they came and they wrote. So have you dreamed about writing your own essay to submit to Wildfire? Maybe you have a piece of your cancer story that you want to share, but you need help getting started with it. Or maybe you just need time to be accountable, to show up weekly for yourself and for others in a community. Sign up for our Sparks class. You'll find it to be the safe place that you need to get your ideas sparking for your next essay, your next poem, or maybe just to do the healing that you need to do. Head to wildfirecommunity.org/workshops to sign up for the next one. I can't wait to write with you.
Hi, this is Gretchen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 37, and not until about 2 or 3 years after my diagnosis, during the pandemic actually, I signed up for a Wildfire writing workshop. And it was probably hands down one of the most therapeutic 6 weeks of my life. I had never had any therapy since my diagnosis. So going through this workshop was the first time I really was forced to head on, face a lot of the issues that I didn't even realize that I hadn't dealt with yet. So in addition to that, though, what was even more impactful about that workshop was the opportunity to listen to everybody else's stories and to see a part of myself in other people's stories. Even though we all came from such different walks of life, we were all had completely different diagnoses. Some people were just diagnosed, some people were 5-10 years out from the diagnosis, even longer. And just to have that experience and that intimate conversation during that time just made me feel a lot less alone. And I don't know, I they recommended it, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to do that. So thank you, April.
All right, thank you so much for the love, Gretchen. So nice to hear your voice today. And turning back to you, Kathleen, thank you again for your powerful writing and reading today.
You're welcome. Such an honor.
Thank you. I feel honored. So let's start with Goldilocks, because I feel like, you know, the world is becoming much more aware that flat is an option, but I don't know that people necessarily have heard of, I feel like it maybe it's like kind of the latest thing in mastectomy surgeries. I could be totally wrong, but it's relatively new to me. And you might be the first Goldilocks I've had on the burn. So do you mind telling us a little bit more about what that mastectomy entails or is?
Sure. Yeah, it is really new in my experience. I live in Oregon, which isn't the most state-of-the-art medical state. So probably, you know, Upper East Coast and Lower West Coast has a little bit more experts in terms of plastic surgeons. But I've noticed it's new, and I ended up going up to Seattle for my Goldilocks. I planned to get my first mastectomy as a Goldilocks, but too much of my skin had calcifications in it. So they had to trim a lot of skin, and it just didn't work out for me to get a Goldilocks the first time. And in the time between my first mastectomy and my second one, I had a lot of time to research and find photos, and found a surgical team up in Seattle who made beautiful body art out of extra skin. And I was pretty sold and very grateful that my insurance covered them. So I went up for my second mastectomy and pretty happy with my more realistic looking breast. A lot of Goldilocks that you'll see pictures of have not as realistic looking breasts. So it's an art that is still developing, and you get very different outcomes with different surgeons for sure.
That's good to know. Yeah, and then when you were in San Francisco, walking across the Golden Gate, you saw your first in-person, real-life person with similar scars as you. And so I wonder if you could take us back to that moment and what it felt like to have that realization, you know, when you were seeing a body that was in a way a mirror to your own.
Yeah, it was really emotional, I'll tell you that. It's funny because I had met Sheena out of all those 80 women. I had met her already and talked to her for a while the night before. But when I saw her with her shirt off, I think she was wearing a button-down long sleeve shirt, and it was just draping open during the walk across the bridge and down Crissy Field. And I just couldn't stop looking at her chest. And I was like, you know, first you're like orienting and going, oh, wait, does she have? Oh, yeah, she has little breasts. Oh, look, it's that shape. Oh, well, it's kind of the same shape as mine. And I just, you know, I didn't feel too awkward about it. But I walked up to her and told her how I was feeling. And I knew that she was a safe person to share it with. But I was like, yeah, I'm really overcome with emotion right now, because I can see that your breasts, out of all the in-person bodies that I've seen, your breasts kind of resemble mine, and I feel so not alone, and I feel so beautiful because I can see how beautiful your breasts are, and they're just, it's just making me feel really cool and grateful. And she was really receptive to that, and she was walking with another friend who also had Goldilocks, who was willing at that point then to take her shirt off and show me her Goldilocks. So that was just a really special moment that I'll always remember. And you know, I've seen other women in person with Goldilocks mastectomies both before that and after that, but they just didn't look like mine. So it's a little different.
It just really, it underscores the quote I feel the most called to of Audre Lorde's work about how women with mastectomies must become visible to one another. And I don't think that she necessarily meant topless per se, but just that recognition that another person has been through something similar and is dealing with some of the similar things, I think is so powerful. And then to extend that to scars and seeing someone else look so beautiful, it's a healing thing, because then you turn it back on yourself and feel like, well, you know, if she is that gorgeous, then maybe I am as well. Mm-hmm. I had a similar experience that I got to witness not long ago at it wasn't just breast cancer, it was kind of an all cancer fair, a health fair. But I happened to be in conversation with two women who had had DPLAP. I didn't have DPLAP myself, but I was listening to them. One was recovering maybe a year out. The other had just had it maybe a couple weeks before. Talking. And then finally the one woman who was more healed said to the other, "Have you ever seen a deep scar?" And the woman said, "Actually, I haven't." And she said, "Okay, let's go over here in this corner and I'll show you my scars." And it's just such a beautiful thing that our community is so open, you know, to sharing mm-hmm. these kinds of things. And I remember actually in Portland, I met a woman who wanted to go flat and she hadn't seen anyone flat scar before. And so she asked me if I would show her my flat scar. And honestly, to be on the other side of that felt really healing too, to be able to say, yeah, I am proud of this scar and I'm happy to show you. So, yeah, it's a nice thing.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
So I want to turn a little bit from here into the writing of your essay. And what I said at the start, one of the things I love so much about it is how you wove your whole story around a timeline. And you chose to tell it in a linear way and kind of hinge it to these specific incidences. And I'm wondering, did it come out fully formed that way, or how did you decide to write it in this way around topless experiences?
Yeah, it came out pretty much as it is. There wasn't a lot of editing involved. It came out with this question in my mind of, oh, let's see, how many times have I done this? And what did each one feel like? And I wanted to kind of document when they all happened. For my own sake, it wasn't just a creative writing experience. I really wanted to know what the timeline was, because I knew that if I waited another year or two to think about this question, I probably wouldn't have clear answers. So I love documenting my life, partly because I do have a little bit of memory issues from having a pretty traumatic early adulthood. So I like to document with photographs and with writing. And this one just came out and flowed right out and was really, really cathartic and healing for me to read back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love what you just said about it kind of springing from a question. And I think that every piece of writing has some question at heart, and either we know the answer when we set out to write the essay, you know, and it's a story of how we came to that answer, or it's like you just described, it's like using writing as the tool to find the answer as you go. I also love this other part that you just said of, you know, what did it look like and how did I feel, and then giving each moment its full description. And I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily know that that's what's at the heart of expressive writing, is that feeling part. Like, well, how did I really feel it? This affected me? Or how do I really feel like this has led to the person that I am now? Or just, why do I keep thinking about this thing? Were there any surprises to you as you went back through those experiences?
Yeah, I think noticing, just especially because Aaron was with me the first time I went topless in the U.S. as a whole breasted person, two-breasted person, and had that first experience with me. And then she was there after when I went back to that exact same spot. and was part of that experience. And the surprise was that I felt more free, more whole, less ashamed, more in touch with my body the second time after I had had two mastectomies. So you would just not think that. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that a few years ago if I had read this essay. Well, how strange that she was not as accepting of her body when it was whole, and what most people would say, a really enviable body. I had really large breasts. You know, I'm a thin woman. I mean, you just look at that and say, well, most people would really envy that body. But I was not comfortable with that body. And probably up until my first mastectomy, you know, wasn't ever fully comfortable with that body, or certainly not free with it or proud of it in the way that I am now. So it's a real strange contradiction. And probably has a lot to do. I mean, most women have body issues, I guess, whether or not they have trauma in their life. But my mom had amazing body love and set a great example for me in terms of accepting her body. But I think because of my trauma, my sexual trauma in my early adulthood with different figures, leader figures and men and romantic relationships, I was definitely led down a different road and wasn't quite as loving toward my body. But strangely, I am now because of the women in my life who have taught me body positivity.
So I've heard this, I would say, mostly within the flat community, you know, this kind of newfound joy and freedom that has come from just removing them altogether. And I live with one breast. I had a unilateral mastectomy, and even just being half flat has really been kind of a, I almost said renaissance. I don't know if it was a renaissance of my body, but it's definitely given me a new appreciation and love for my body that I can relate to what you were saying. I didn't feel before. If you had to summarize, what did you let go of when you lost your breasts? Like how is this joyful experience occurring now that you've removed these breasts?
I think the best way to explain it is it feels like a fresh start. Even before I met my flat sisters and joined this community, I would look down at my chest and it looked like my chest that I remember from maybe being 4 or 5 years old when I was innocent. And my one breast, because at first I had just one mastectomy. I looked down and I was like, yeah, this is familiar. This isn't scary. I expected it to be scary and loathsome, dreadful, something I would be ashamed of, something I would hide. But it wasn't. It was innocent and beautiful. And that was highly unexpected. The joy didn't come until I met these other women. And really, it was that moment when we were all getting ready to pose for a group photo on the morning of flat retreat in Oregon. And we were meeting at a park, and we had this amazing photographer, Charisse Isis, who had come all the way from upstate New York. And she was there to take all of our photos individually, however we wanted to be covered or not covered. And we started out with the group together, singing a song and kind of having a little ritual. And then it was cold, but we all took our shirts off and had a group photo. And during that ritual, something transformed in me, and I started to celebrate my body. I started to love it. Because I looked around and I thought, you know, these women are so lovable. And I know they feel that way about me too. So that's where the joy came from.
And I think that there's something too about allowing yourself to be seen. And I've met Charisse. She's with the Goddess, or the Grace Project rather. And I can attest to her being a true master at helping women to feel comfortable in an environment that maybe they wouldn't have normally opted to be photographed, you know, topless. But I think that you know, seeing everyone else in that group, I love that you got to have a group session like that, but seeing everyone else be brave, yeah, it's hard not to like take that on and start to feel that as well. So I'm really glad that you got to have that experience. That's beautiful. So I wish that we could just keep talking all day long. There are so many more places we could go, but I think we'll need to call it good there. But Kathleen, if people would like to connect with you and follow you online, are you open to followers on Instagram? And if so, what is your handle?
Yeah. I've actually been, speaking of documenting my journey, one of my doctors recommended that I blog or vlog through the process, and I have been since about 3 weeks before my first mastectomy. I've done or tried to do a daily check-in on Instagram, usually video check-in, so I've got an extensive library of sharing my raw journey and all the different things I've gone through in live timing, and that's at A Breast Cancer Diary on Instagram. I'm also on YouTube. Estrogen Diaries is my main YouTube channel right now, also talking about the things I wish I would have known as I was going into each of my mastectomies and plastic surgeries.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. We will definitely link to you. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for being here today and for reading Toplessness Transformed. Those of you listening, I hope you will pick up the 2023 New Normal and see Kathleen in that episode. But the good thing about the magazine is we get to have pictures, and I believe you are showing the bra that you cut up. Or I love that you said that your friend is an expert at chopping clothing mm-hmm. until it fits just right.
And the tutu. The tutu's in the paper episode, too. Or the
That's
paper
true.
Magazine,
and
too.
The beautiful Golden Gate as well. So, yeah. Yes. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for being here again. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
Thanks, April. The burn has been such a source of healing in my life, I can't even tell you. So I'm really thrilled to be here.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Well, with that, I will let you all know that I'm April Stearns, and you've been listening to The Burn. The Burn is a production of Wildfire Magazine, where we share breast cancer stories like you've never read or heard before. We also strive to inspire you to write your story like you've never written it before. Stay to the end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. Our producer is Bill Smith of Shoe Production, and our production assistant is Monica Harrow. If you want more on the life-changing transformation to be had from telling your breast cancer stories, please visit us at wildfirecommunity.org. You'll find a copy of the issue shared in today's episode. You'll find our rich wildfire archives and all the info you need to take a writing workshop with me. There's no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop, and I want you to experience it for yourself. Discover how to write your way back to yourself, write your way to reclaiming your body and your story. And don't forget to subscribe to The Burn and listen to it wherever you go. All right, here is your writing prompt. As always, I want you to set your timer for this one and write without stopping. That's where you unleash the magic of the prompt. The prompt is, this feels familiar. This feels familiar. So set your timer. I suggest 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and write without stopping. See what needs to come out and where it will take you. And if you find that you write best with a good prompt, I've got tons more for you over at wildfirecommunity.org/free. Happy writing. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take good care.